They're violating it. And most of church history, sadly, has done this, even from the pens and the sermons of some of our heroes, like Luther and John Calvin. We need to watch very carefully our attitude towards the Jewish people. This is what the Apostle Paul is warning about in Romans 11. Second subcategory to think about is the angelic conflict. These are all of the different Bible verses that tell us that the spiritual world exerts influence on the physical world because we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But principalities and rulers of this dark world. The devil himself hates the Jewish people. Notice Revelation 12, verses 1 through 5. It says, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor pain to give birth. And yet another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 horns and 10 heads, upon his head 7 diadems. His tail swept a third of the stars out of heaven and cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman that is about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a man-child, who was to rule all of the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne." Lots of symbols here. Who's the son? S-O-N. Jesus. He's caught up to God. That's the ascension. He's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That's Psalm 2, verse 9. Okay, who's the dragon? The dragon's the devil, because he's defined as such in verse 9. Okay, well then who's this woman clothed with the sun and the moon and the 12 stars? Have you ever asked yourself that? Who is that? The only way you could know is if you knew the Old Testament. Genesis 39 says this, "Now he," that's Joseph, "had a dream and related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have still had another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars," Joseph being the 12th star, "were bowing down to me. And he revealed this dream to his father at the age of 17. It says, Genesis 37:10, "He related it to his brothers and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you have had? And in the process of the rebuke, Jacob interprets the imagery. Shall I and your brothers actually come down and bow ourselves down to the ground to you?" It's a prophecy about what was going to happen in Joseph's life. How by the age of 30, he was going to be elevated to the second in command in all of Egypt. So when that same imagery shows up in the book of Revelation, and we consult Genesis 37, we know that the sun, S-U-N, is Jacob. The moon is Jacob's wife. Rachel's dead by this time, so it must be his other wife, Leah. The 11 stars are Joseph's brothers. The 12th star is Joseph himself. So the 12 stars represent the 12 what? Tribes of the nation of Israel. So when the sun and the moon and the 12 stars shows up in the book of Revelation, that's a sign that the woman represents Israel. So what is the dragon doing to the nation of Israel? He's trying to destroy it. And this reaches its apex in the second half of the tribulation period. You can read about it in verses 13 and 14 of Revelation 12. And verses 15 and 16 of Revelation 12. It's a story of how the devil is trying to destroy Israel, and God keeps seeking to rescue Israel. And these are the various descriptors of the nation of Israel during that time, and they're descriptors of Satan's hatred towards the Jewish people. Wrath, persecution, desiring to sweep her away, enraged, war. This is the mentality of the devil as he looks at the Jewish people. And have you ever asked yourself, why does Satan hate the Jewish people so much? Jesus gave us that answer in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, when he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until..." Let me read that again. "For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until..." Now, who is he speaking to? Israel. Because he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you..." Who's you? Israel. "Until you say," quote, "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," which is a citation from Psalm 118, verse 26, which is a messianic psalm. What is Jesus saying here? "I am not coming back to planet Earth to establish my kingdom until you, Israel, acknowledge me as your Messiah." That's what he's saying. And it's going to take the events of the tribulation itself to get Israel to this place, or she will acknowledge Jesus or Yeshua as her Messiah and King. Now, if you were the devil, what would you do? You see, Satan doesn't want the kingdom to come to the earth, because during the kingdom, he's bound in the abyss. At the end of the kingdom, he's thrown into the lake of fire. So in his darkened mind, he says, "Well, I'll prevent this whole thing from happening by destroying the instrument through which the kingdom will come." You see that? That's why he's trying to wipe out Israel in the second half of the tribulation period. This is the explanation for anti-Semitism in the earth. It's spiritual. When you take a position against Israel, politically or theologically, you just took a side in the angelic conflict. When you take a position for Israel, theologically or politically, you just took a side in the angelic conflict. God wants to preserve Israel. Satan wants to destroy Israel. What side do you want to be on? See, this is a different way, is it not, of looking at the whole subject of Israel. Third subcategory is Israel's apostate condition. How can you support a nation that at the present time is a Christ-rejecting nation? Well, the bottom line is this. They may be a Christ-rejecting nation today, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay in that condition, if we understand prophecy. The early church, for its first two centuries, acknowledged this. Justin Martyr wrote this, "But I and every other completely Orthodox Christian..." See, people say, you can't make this a test for orthodoxy. Look at the words of Justin Martyr. "I and every other Orthodox Christian feel certain that there will be a resurrection of the flesh followed by 1,000 years in the rebuilt, embellished, and enlarged city of Jerusalem as was announced by the prophets Ezekiel, Isaiah, and others." This is what the early church believed in that circle up at top that I have there, the school of Antioch. There's another school circle there indicating the school of Antioch. So the early church believed that yes, Israel is an apostate nation today, but they're not going to be an apostate nation forever. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 28 makes a prophecy. It says, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from the lands and bring you into your own land. Then," see the word "then" there? "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean." Later on it says, "I'll put a new spirit in you." See the pattern here? First God brings them back into their land. Would you say that's happening today? Then He puts His spirit in them. And that's the right way to look at Israel. The right way to look at Israel is God has made good on the first part of that prophecy. The second part of it, their regeneration is yet to come. And if that's my attitude as I look at the Jewish people, I can support the nation of Israel, can't I? Ezekiel 37, verses 7 through 11 talks about bones that come together and form a skeleton. After the body is formed, what happens after that? But there was no breath in them. So I prophesied as He commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life. Do you see the order here? First the skeleton comes together. Then the breath enters the skeleton. We've seen part one of this. We're waiting on part two. See, this is how I, as a Christian, can support Israel, even though Israel is not yet in faith. Zechariah 12 and verse 10 says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace. Let me ask you a question. Where are the Jewish people, according to this prophecy, before the Spirit comes upon them? I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem. How do they get in Jerusalem? God put them there. Then the Spirit comes on them. See, I look at unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem and I say, well, God has made good on part one. It's just a matter of time before He makes good on part two.